Well, thank you, choir, for being so accommodating. It's kind of nice to be surrounded by all these great voices. In our Bibles, let's go to the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, the third book of the Bible, and we're going to go to the fifth chapter of that book. Leviticus chapter 5, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 10 to read about how some things were done back in the Old Testament. Leviticus 5, verse 1. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Well, let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning for these 10 verses. It says this, and this is part of the Mosaic law. If a person sins because he does not speak up when he hears a public charge to testify regarding something he has seen or learned about, he will be held responsible. Or if a person touches anything ceremonially unclean, whether the carcasses of unclean wild animals or of unclean livestock or of unclean creatures that move along the ground, even though he is unaware of it, he has become unclean and is guilty. Or if he touches human uncleanness, anything that would make him unclean, even though he is unaware of it, when he learns of it, he will be guilty. Or if a person thoughtlessly takes an oath to do anything, whether good or evil, in a matter one might carefully swear about, even though he is unaware of it, in any case, when he learns of it, he will be guilty. When anyone is guilty in any of these ways, he must confess in what way he has sinned, and as a penalty for the sin he has committed, he must bring to the Lord a female lamb or goat from the flock as a sin offering, and the priest shall make atonement for him for his sin. If he cannot afford a lamb, he is to bring two doves or two young pigeons to the Lord as a penalty for his sin, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. He is to bring them to the priest, who shall first offer the one for the sin offering. He is to wring its head from its neck, not severing it completely, and is to sprinkle some of the blood of the sin offering against the side of the altar. The rest of the blood must be drained out at the base of the altar. It is a sin offering. The priest shall then offer the other as a burnt offering in the prescribed way and make atonement for him for the sin he has committed, and he will be forgiven. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, how can we today, us New Testament people here in 2015, look back on this Old Testament principle and learn from it? Well, your scripture always teaches us something here, Lord. So today, we just trust that once again, your word is going to mold us and transform us into learning something that we just didn't know before. And that's one of the really nice thrills of coming in for worship, Lord, that we can learn something new about you each and every Sunday. So change our hearts and change our minds as to what we need to learn about you today. And we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. We are in week number 3 of this sermon series that I have titled, Behind the Cross of Jesus. Yes, I am saved, and yes, you are saved. I believe all of you are saved. And yes, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That's what the Bible teaches. And that's the simplicity of salvation. It's eternal life offered by Jesus Christ. But lately, I've wanted to know more about what really happens behind the cross of Jesus. So in this series, we're going to go deeper into what really happens or happened when a person surrenders his or her life to Jesus Christ. So what have we learned so far? First week, real quickly, we have all inherited a death sentence, Romans 5:12. It's called the human condition, and it is sin We're all going to do it. And sin condemns us to hell, which is Romans 6:23. There's no exceptions. And because of our sin, we are by nature, the Bible teaches us, objects of God's wrath, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. And the wrath of God is on every human being, and every human being will result in a spiritual death sentence. Unless, praise the Lord, there's a cross. So how are we, how is a person saved from this wretched and dead condition that we find ourselves in? How can we make it right? How can we appease God's wrath? Well, we learned last week, we can't do it. We need a Savior who's going to do that for us. And there's only one Savior who can save us from that death sentence. And His name is Jesus Christ. Last week, we learned that Jesus Christ is the big word, propitiation, for all who believe. In other words, He appeased God's wrath by taking on God's wrath Himself. Isaiah chapter 53, in many different verses, tells us these things. It says that Jesus took up our pain. He bore our suffering. He was stricken by God and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was on Him. And the Lord had laid on Him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. But the good news is this: by His wounds, we are healed. And that, my friends, is propitiation. Jesus took the wrath of God that we deserve. So one thing we find behind the cross of Jesus is this big word, propitiation. God's wrath will no longer be directed to the believer, to people like us, or to anybody who trusts in Jesus Christ. Well, I said last week, that just settles the wrath issue. What about the sin issue? Remember last week, I had Greg up here on one side, and I had Romeo over here on the other side. And I said in this little role play thing that we did that I was mad at Greg because he threw me under the bus at work. Remember that example we gave last week? But along comes Romy and says, "Mike, if you're going to take your anger out on anybody, if you're going to take your wrath out on anybody, take it out on me." Well, that was the role play. Romy was the propitiation for Greg. Well, I'm no longer angry at Greg, but I still haven't forgiven him. Somehow, our sin still needs to be settled. So let's look a little deeper here today into our sin issue and learn what happens to our sin when we look behind the cross of Jesus. Well, our sin must be wiped out somehow. And somehow I and you, we must need to be forgiven. But today I'm not going to use the word forgiven, although we could use it. But I'm going to use the word atonement. We must somehow atone for our sins. What does the word atone mean? Well, I have the definition in your bulletin. And the word atone means to supply satisfaction for. To supply satisfaction for. And it sounds similar to that word propitiation from last week, which means to appease. And there are some circles of theology and some churches who will blend those two words together, and both of those words, propitiation and atonement, as one. But for the sake of this, I want to keep them separate because I want to illustrate two different points. We know this. Last week we learned that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross was propitiation for God's wrath. And today we're going to learn that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was also atonement for my sins and for yours. In our scripture reading this morning, we read this Old Testament example of where there were certain things that the Israelite, the person, could do to atone for their sin. In every case, it was by way of an animal sacrifice. And if you want to read more about atonement and other sins, just go back one chapter to Leviticus chapter 4, and it explains a lot of different sins that the person could do and how those sins need to be atoned for. But let's focus in on one verse, and that's that verse that I have written down in your bulletin, Leviticus chapter 5, verse 10. And I have some of these words underlined, and we're going to take a real close look at each one of these individually. Leviticus 5:10 kind of sums up that section of Scripture, and it says this: "The priest shall then make the other," which is the other bird he's referring to, "as a burnt offering in the prescribed way and make atonement for them for the sin they have committed, and they will be forgiven." Well, you can notice the key words that I have underlined there, and I'm going to make an analogy between what they had to do in the Old Testament, what was prescribed for forgiveness back then, and then let's look at it today as we're going to look behind the cross of Jesus and see what his crucifixion actually did for us. So what are those words? Well, we have them underlined there: priest, offering, prescribed way, atonement, sin they have committed, and forgiven. And again, I have them in your bulletin, and they are underlined. So let's look real quickly, how were sins forgiven in the Old Testament? Well, this is a pretty good example. We need a starting place. The starting place is this: the sin they have committed. There's nothing to be forgiven if you haven't committed a sin, amen? But unfortunately for us, we all have, and so today. So let's start with that. The sin they have committed, because that initiates the whole process of forgiveness. So let's say, to use an example, this Old Testament guy back then, he touched something that was ceremonially unclean. So that would be his sin. And we find that in verse 2 in chapter 5 of Leviticus. So that's his sin. So what's the next step that he needs to do? Well, it's really going to be up to him or her. Does this person want to make atonement for that sin? Does that person really seek forgiveness? So the process is actually called, it's the atonement process. Because somehow there need to be to atone means to supply satisfaction for. How does God get satisfied with this man or this woman's sin? How does he do that? Well, the man wants to make atonement. Let's say he progresses on. So number 3, there is a prescribed way, and the atonement for this man's sin must be done in that prescribed way. So what is the prescribed way that he does that? And may I mention that there's no other way that this man's sin can be atoned for. He has to do it the way God has outlined it. So what is that? Well, that brings us to our fourth word. He brings an offering, which would be either a female lamb or a goat, or if he cannot afford either one of those, he brings two doves or two young pigeons to whom? The priest. There's our next word. He brings the sacrifice that he wants, the offering, I should say, to the priest. And the priest acts as a mediator between the sinner and God. And the priest does what is necessary to that sacrificial animal. And we can read about that. In the case here, he either kills it or breaks the neck or whatever. But the animal is sacrificed. And once this process is complete, the atonement for this man's sin is also complete. God is now satisfied that this sin has been covered, and this man or this woman has now been forgiven. And that's our sixth word. So it was a kind of a very sacrificial process involving a lot of animals. But that's the way it was done. This was the process that was outlined by God in the Mosaic Law for those living in the Old Testament. If you wanted to be forgiven, if you wanted your sin atoned for, here's what you got to do. But we don't live in the Old Testament, do we? We live here in 2015. What about us? How do we do this? Should we be taking animals and animal sacrifices to a priest as atonement for our sins so we can be forgiven? There are some people who still believe that, but let's go through those six words and phrases again and see how a person is forgiven or how their sin is atoned for in the eyes of God today. Remember, we are New Testament people. Jesus said this when he was breaking the bread and distributing the wine at the Last Supper. He said this, and at the end of the supper, he took the cup, he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to his disciples and said, take this and drink, for this is the cup of the what? The new covenant. The new covenant for the forgiveness of sins. So we live in a time of a new covenant. So let's go through these, and let's go through these six words, these six phrases, and see how they would apply to us today. Well, the first, and I have those listed in your bulletin as well, in the correct order. Now, word number one, the sin they have committed. Hey, we have no trouble understanding this one, do we? We've all been there. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, we've all fallen short. We are all guilty of sin. So the next big question is this, just like the person in the Old Testament would be us here today. If we know that we have sinned, what do we want to do about that? Do we want to move on from that point? Do we want this sin atoned for? Do we want this sin forgiven? Do we want to be right in the eyes of the Father? And if the answer to that question is yes, so the next step we must make is this. We do want to make atonement for this. We want to supply satisfaction to God for that sin that we have committed. Because we know what? Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is what? Death. It's death. We don't want to die in our sin. We want to atone for our sin. So we know that we have successfully gone past step number two. Yes, I want to atone for my sin. I want to restore that relationship, reconcile that relationship with the Father. So how do I do that? Well, the first thing I do is put my microphone back on. So how do I do that? Well, there is a prescribed way. Amen? There's just not a thousand different ways, although some people out there, like Oprah Winfrey, would probably try to tell you that every path to God is a correct path to God. But, my Bible seems to tell me something a little bit different. My Bible says that there is a prescribed way, and Jesus says this in John 14:6. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one gets to the Father except through me. He says, I am the prescribed way. There is no other way that we can satisfy the atonement that God requires for the forgiveness of our sins. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says this, salvation, this is Peter giving his speech, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. So, we know that Jesus is the prescribed way, but what about that prescribed way? How does Jesus fit into this whole plan of atonement so my sins, your sins, can be forgiven? Well, then let's go to our fourth word, which is offering. We know in the Old Testament they had to bring an offering, a lamb, a goat, a dove, a pigeon. We know that there must be an offering. But instead of a lamb, or a goat, or a dove, or a pigeon, who do we have? We have Jesus. He's the offering. What does John the Baptist say in John chapter 1, verse 29? He sees Jesus walking towards him, and he tells the people, look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. I didn't have to come up with an animal. I didn't have to come up with an offering. The perfect lamb was provided by a perfect God. The Lamb of God, who was an offering, he was crucified on the cross as an atonement for my sins. That's the offering. I don't even have to go on out back and get that animal and take it somewhere. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2 says this, walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And then in Hebrews chapter 9:14, it says this: how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God? So we know this. Word number four, what's the offering? Jesus Christ is the offering, and he's already been given to us. Well, what about that fifth word? That fifth word said priest. You know, back in the Old Testament, I had to have this lamb and take it to a mediator, this priest who would offer it as a sacrifice to God for me. Do we need a priest today? Do we need a mediator, because they did in the Old Testament? Do we need a mediator? Well, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says this: for there is one God, we know that, and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Jesus Christ. Well, it looks like Jesus Christ is playing that part of the priest that they needed in the Old Testament. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 says this: for this reason, he had to be made like them meaning us, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. I believe I also have that verse on the front of you of today's bulletin. Hebrews 6, verse chapter 6, verse 20. Jesus has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever. So let's summarize those 5 points, what we know so far. Yes, point number one, sin. Well, we have sin. Okay, we're guilty. And number two, we want to make atonement for that sin. So how do we do that? Well, we need to follow the only prescribed way is through God's word. And that prescribed way is through the only one, Jesus Christ. He's not only the prescribed way, he is also the offering that needs to be given. And he is also the priest who is going to be the mediator between us and God. Gee, if we compare ourselves to those folks in the Old Testament, they had to get the animal, they had to take it somewhere, they had to find a priest, they had to have the right frame of mind. Seems like none of that we have to do. So what is my part in all this? The big question has got to be this: do you, do I, want forgiveness from God for the sins that we have committed? I know I do. I know I do. If so, do you believe all these things that I've just been telling you about atonement? Do you trust in Jesus to be able to do this? Do you believe and trust that Jesus Christ is the only way for forgiveness? And that he is the offering that God requires. And he accomplished that offering on the cross. And also, he is the high priest who is the intercessor for us now. And he accomplished all this atonement for me and for you. There is still a seventh step that I kind of left out and I kind of didn't, for both the Old Testament folks and for us. And it's a five-letter word, and it begins with the letter F and ends in A-I-T-H. And it's the word faith. It's the word faith. You know, those folks back in the Old Testament, they could run out back, know that they did something wrong. Oh, here I go, I sinned again. Well, go on out back and grab that goat or grab that lamb or grab those two turtle doves. Take him down to the priest and get this thing over with so I can wash my hands and I can be clean of this whole thing. And they could do it just out of routine, couldn't they? They could just do it. Hey, it's just another day to go to the priest. I've sinned again. Here's my offering. You know, I spent a lot of years in a system that did exactly just that. Saturday night, let's go to church. Let's get in that confessional. Let's tell the guy what I did, and let's go back home again and start all over again. Zero faith. But if we want to believe that Jesus is atonement for our sins, that he is the offering by God, that he is the Lamb of God, If we want to believe that, and if we want forgiveness for those sins that we all have committed, we need to have that F-A-I-T-H word, don't we? We need to have faith that that sacrifice says what it says is going to do, what this book says it's going to do. I believe that sacrifice is going to do what this book says it's going to do. I will bet my eternity on it. And you know what? If I'm wrong, I've enjoyed pastoring you guys. But if I'm right, and if you are right, there's a lot of people out there that need to know and have what we have. Amen?
Amen.
They need to have that. Acts chapter 10, verse 43 says this: all the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And then Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7: in him, meaning Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. And Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 sums up this whole sermon rather well. It says this: in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. We look back on the cross, and sometimes we think, boy, what a terrible thing that was. What a wonderful thing that was. What a wonderful thing. Our sins, we were once in tune with the Father, and our sins separated us from the Father. And if we want to make that right again, somehow God needs to be satisfied. Our sins need to be atoned for. And they were. No more goats, no more lambs. The Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Well, what did we find behind the cross of Jesus? We find propitiation. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ appeased the wrath of a just and holy God. What else do we find behind the cross of Jesus? Atonement. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ satisfied and restored that broken relationship that we once had with the Father, because it was broken because of our sin, but it's now been forgiven because of his atonement. That, my friends, that's great news. That is great news. But there's more to find behind the cross of Jesus, and we'll go there next Sunday. Let's go to God in prayer.